Good evening to to everyone. Once again, before I begin, I want to just once again thank the elders for the opportunity of allowing me to stand before you once again. I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and I'm very thankful. And as I have mentioned last time, in just about four short weeks from now, I will be traveling to Missouri for a two-year preacher training program. Just want to briefly describe that so you all are aware of where I will be going. It's going to be a two-year program in St. Robert, Missouri. It's about 120 miles west of St. Louis. It's located just outside of Fort Leonard Wood. And due to the being just outside of the military base, the congregation, the size fluctuates from about 95 to 25, which is currently at about 40 people. The program is with about four men at a time. There's currently two others, and there's room for one more, if there's anyone here interested. The first year, we will be studying the Bible and researching and preparing sermons, while the second year, we will focus on evangelism. And in the mornings, I'll be working at one of the local restaurants. The preacher conducting this has a dormitory-style living area for all of us. And every Sunday we will have an opportunity to preach at congregations throughout the state of Missouri. And as well, I will be also able to visit my grandparents about once a month and preach at their congregation in Arkansas. So if you have any more questions about this, feel free to ask, and I will be happy to answer those for you. And I'm again thankful for all the prayers and the encouragement that y'all continually give as I about to begin my journey in service to the Lord. I want to thank for my dad for the songs he's led. Obviously, the one that we just sang is going to be the basis of our lesson, and the other two fit right along with it. Tonight, I want to talk about the subject of our lesson is I Am Resolved. With the new year approaching in about 3 weeks, it is a popular time to begin thinking about New Year's resolutions. And this is a time where we examine ourselves and we make goals to better ourselves. Many times it could be whether we want to lose weight, or maybe we want to exercise more, eat better, we want to get our financial situation in a better grasp, whatever it may be. Those are physical resolutions, things that we can be better physically. But as a Christian, we need to always make goals and always seek to better ourselves as a Christian so that we can be more pleasing to God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, Paul tells the Corinthian brethren here, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust you that you will know that we are not disqualified." So as a Christian, we need to examine ourselves and to, as James says, look at ourselves in the mirror that is God's Word and see whether we are in the faith or not. And tonight I want to notice this familiar song. And while it's not dealing directly with New Year's resolutions, and there are things in this song that we need to be resolved about. And what a perfect time to begin resolving is the new year. And so first I want to, before we get into the song, I just want to ask, what is a resolution? Now, a resolution, according to the Random House Dictionary, is a resolve or a determination to do something. And the root word of resolution, resolve, is to come to a definite or earnest decision about, or a determination. Now, today, New Year's resolutions have become a bit of a laughing matter. You can typically insert joke here. You know, you think that some people say, oh, New Year's resolutions are those things we only do the first 2 weeks of the new year. And you know, there's no commitment behind them. But a true resolution is one that has commitment, and one we are determined about, and we are definite in our decision. And this is what will make us successful in our resolution, is commitment. So let us be committed in our resolution to be better servants of God. So now going into the song, the first verse of our song, I Am Resolved, it begins by saying, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. So he begins, I am resolved no longer to linger. Now when it comes to matters of salvation and to spiritual matters, we cannot linger. As Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter, he told them 2 Corinthians, now is the appointed time, now is the day of salvation, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. We cannot wait, whether it be that we're not living as we ought to or we haven't become a Christian yet. We can't wait and we must act now while we still have the opportunity to become a Christian and not wait anymore. So we need to be resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Romans 12 and verse 9. We find here, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And what he says here is, abhor what is evil. We need to detest, to be appalled by evil. We need to be disgusted by evil, not charmed by the things of this world. We cannot be charmed by the thoughts and the cares and the delights of this world. Find a similar statement in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We must not love the world or the things of the world, but we must love those things which are spiritual, which are godly, which will help us to be a better Christian. And as we look at the world today, the media, it appeals to sin. We see commercials that, I'm thinking specifically of an alcohol commercial, one that'll show a bar scene and everybody's just having the best time and it looks so fun. And it's designed to look pleasant, look good. And we must guard against that so we're not charmed by those things. We sang this morning in one of our songs, all the vain things that charmed me most, I sacrificed them to His blood. We must be spiritually minded and not be charmed by the things of this world. And in the final part of this song, he says, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. In the very first psalm, Psalm 1 and the first two verses, we read in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We must allow the things that are higher, the things that are nobler. We must allow spiritual things and godly things to allure us. And we must be delighted by the law of the Lord, and we must meditate in it day and night. We find in Psalm chapter, in the 19th Psalm, in verse 7, Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, David penned here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The law of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the testimony, the statutes, the fear of the Lord, the judgments, they're all more valuable to us, they ought to be more valuable to us than gold. And we ought to treasure them more than the greatest sum of gold we can find. And they ought to be sweeter to our ears than honey and the honeycomb. Do we allow these things to allure us? If we've set our mind on things above, as we find in Colossians 3 and verse 2, then we will be allured by these things. And when we meditate on the law of the Lord and set our mind on that, then we will be allured by it. As we begin this year, let us resolve to no longer to linger, no longer charmed by the delights of the world, but allured by higher and nobler things. In verse 2, the songwriter says, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, beginning in verse 1, Isaiah 59, we read this morning, beginning in verse 1, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. When I read this, I can't think of what a horrible state that is. To know that our sins have separated us from our Almighty God, our Creator, and also our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a horrible situation to be in. But when we study the Bible, we find that God loved us. And that He made this wonderful plan to send His Son to the earth, to die on the cross for our sins, the most horrible death. And He was raised from the dead, and through His blood, through His death, His sacrifice for our sins, not His own, our sins, we can find reconciliation. We find in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans 5 and verse 10. It says, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So our sin causing us to be separated from God, Jesus died to reconcile that, to bring us back. And we find a similar statement to that of Isaiah 59 and 1 John chapter 1. Where the writer in verse 5 or verse 6 says, "If we have say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Jesus' death restored our fellowship with God, and we must be thankful to Jesus for being so loving and doing that. And we must leave our sin and our strife, and we must humbly go to the Savior. And one of the songs that we sing from time to time, number 635 in our book, I am coming to the cross. In verse 3, it reads, Here I give my all to thee, friends and time and earthly store, soul and body thine to be, wholly thine forevermore. And in the chorus, I am trusting, Lord, in thee, blessed Lamb of Calvary. Humbly at thy cross I bow, seeking thy salvation now. So we must leave the path of sin that we're on, turn away from our sin, repent from it, and we must humbly bow before the cross, seeking the salvation. We must humbly go to God for the salvation that He has so graciously offered to us. And we must realize that we only have salvation because of God's love, His mercy, and His grace. So we must humbly go to the Savior and devote our life completely to Him. And he concludes this, the verse of this song, saying, He is the true one, He is the just one, He has the words of life. We find in John chapter 6 and verse 66, Jesus had previously in this context, Jesus had fed the 4,000, and they had come to Him seeking more physical food, and Jesus told them, you're only here for the food, but you need to partake of my flesh and of my blood, and if he who drinks my flesh and blood shall have eternal life. And he told, once he rebuked them of this, they says in verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter realized that Jesus is the only way through which we can find salvation. He is the only path to heaven. In John chapter 14, later in the same book, John 14 and verse 6, Jesus here says, in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. We must devote our lives to Jesus, not Muhammad, not any other man, not Joseph Smith, not any other claimed, not the Pope, any other claimed religious person. Jesus is the only one we must devote our life to, and Him only should we devote our life to and seek to follow. So as we begin this new year, let us resolve to leave our sin and humbly go to the Savior, for He is the only way. And beginning the third verse of our song, he says here, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth. He is the living way. So he begins, I am resolved to follow the Savior. We often sing, and we also the most famous, one of the most well-known psalms is the 23rd Psalm. And we sing it, and it's put to music, and we sing it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can we truly say that about our lives? As we look at our lives, can we truly say, the Lord is my shepherd? In John chapter 10, and verses 1 through 5, Jesus describes Himself as the shepherd, our shepherd. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the Savior. We must follow the Savior in this way, as His sheep. And when Jesus calls us, wherever He calls us to go, we need to follow. And if anybody else, the devil, or anybody else comes and calls us to do something else, like He said in verse 5, they will by no means follow a stranger. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus completely wherever He tells us to go. And anybody else, whatever they may say to do, we reject them and turn away from them. We cannot listen to the voice of others. And he says, this song says, I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. In Revelation 2 and verse 10 at the end, he says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is more than simply sitting on the pew on Sunday morning or just reading your Bible from time to time, maybe praying every day. It's more than that. It's complete devotion of your life to God. Not saying those things aren't important, because they are. But we need to completely devote our life every single hour of every single day. And we just sing the song, He leadeth me. And in the chorus, one of the lines says, His faithful follower I would be. I asked, did you mean that? As we sung that, did you mean that? A lot of times we just sing the song, and when we sing this song, as we sing this part, every single one of us are saying, I will be His faithful follower. Did we mean that? And we need to realize that when we sing that, and in our lives, we need to follow Him faithfully every single day of our life. Faithfully follow Him. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 21, Jesus left us an example that we should follow. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says, for to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His footsteps. And who greater could we follow after? You know, we could follow after some man, but he has a potential to lead us in a wrong direction. Jesus is the only man that lived perfectly. He was the Son of God, and He left us a perfect example that we should follow. And we need to faithfully follow Jesus every single day of our life. And the second part of this verse says, heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. And as we read previously in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. And in Matthew chapter 7, And verse 13 and 14, Jesus is concluding the Sermon on the Mount, getting close to concluding, and he says in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." If we're following Jesus faithful and true each day, He will lead us down that narrow way, that living way. He is the way that we can get to heaven, and we will live forevermore with Him and God in heaven. So as we begin this new year, let us resolve to follow the Savior and let Him lead us in our lives. We'll do what He wants us to do, as we just sang. The fourth verse of this song says, "I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in." So I am resolved to enter the kingdom. We all need to have this resolve. We must be resolved, we must be determined to enter the kingdom of heaven. But this begs the question, how do we enter the kingdom of heaven? In the same text that we just read, just a few verses down, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said here, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'Depart, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" In order to get to the kingdom of heaven, we must do the will of our Father in heaven. We must obey Jesus. We must humbly go to the Savior, leaving our sin and strife. We must follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. And only once we've gone to the Savior and followed His plan for our salvation, and followed the Savior faithfully every day, we can enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says, resolve to enter the kingdom of heaven, leaving the path of sin. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we, as we just read in Matthew chapter 7, he says, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Obviously, we can't sin. We've got to leave the path of sin, turn away from it, repent of our sinful ways. And then we can enter the kingdom of heaven. In John chapter 3 and verse 4 through 9, in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, Jesus said here, beginning in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and sin, he cannot enter the born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel to you that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So it is everyone who is born from the Spirit." So we must, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must leave our path of sin. We can't be born of the flesh, but we must be born of the Spirit. And in Luke chapter 13 and verse 5, Luke 13, Jesus here, in beginning of verse 1, he says, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So Jesus says here, we must repent or we will perish. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we find there, "And truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Going on in our verse of the song, he says, "Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in." Our friends or our family, they might not like that we are seeking to follow Jesus or devoting our life to Him. Our enemies might even try and seek to prevent us from serving God. But in Luke 21, and beginning in verse 16, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost, and by your patience possess your souls." So we find that there's going to be people that don't like that we're serving God, and our friends are going to, maybe they won't be our friend anymore. Or maybe our family will disown us. I've heard of that happening. Your family wants nothing to do with you because you've become a Christian. But we can't let that get in our way. It doesn't matter whether our friends or our families like it or not. We're going to enter the kingdom. And that's what this verse is portraying. A determination that nobody is going to get in our way of entering the kingdom. And in Matthew 16 and verse 26, Jesus says here, Matthew 16 and verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So, what are you willing to exchange for eternal life in heaven? Is it that friend you love so dearly, or your favorite aunt, or whether anybody that you might come in contact? Who are you willing to allow to keep you out of heaven? And I would hope that we would all say nothing. And we can't be willing to let anything keep us out of heaven. So no matter who opposes us, who tries to get in our way, we will enter the kingdom of heaven. Let us have that determination and that resolve that this year, let us resolve to enter the kingdom of heaven no matter who may oppose us. And to our final verse in this song, it says, "I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way." So, "I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay." We often talk about what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian, how much hope we have looking forward to getting into heaven. But are we trying to share that with others? Do we want others to have that hope too? Do we want others to come with us to heaven? Are we trying to take others with us? Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, we find the Great Commission that we're all familiar with. Jesus said here, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." And we find that one of the purposes of Jesus coming here to the earth, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, says, beginning in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now we understand Jesus is no longer physically on this earth anymore. He can't go out and he can't preach to others to tell them to be saved. That's what he's left us to do. Are we fulfilling that purpose of Jesus? He says his purpose was to come to seek and to save the lost. Are we doing what we can to help Jesus fulfill his purpose? We need to strive to take others with us, whoever we can. We need to seek to share our faith with whoever that we can. In Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning in verse 7, Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah says, "O Lord, you induced me and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. And then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." So what Jeremiah has here is He was trying to teach others God's will for them. And he said he was in derision daily. They laughed at him and they were mocking him because of it. And he said, fine, you don't want it, I'm not going to preach it anymore. But in verse 9 he says, his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back and I could not. This is the way we need to be at every time. There was, I heard one time, there's this song that said, I said I wasn't going to tell anybody about it, but I can't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. That ought to be how we are as a Christian. I can't help but tell others about it. God has done so much for me. It's like when something good happens to us, we naturally want to tell others, hey, guess what happened? We need to do the same about the Bible. Hey, Jesus died for our sins, and if you will accept Him and devote your life to Him and obey the gospel, then you can be saved too. We need to do that with everybody that we can and that we come in contact with. And then the second part of this verse is taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit. We must be taught by the Word of God in order to be successful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In order to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, we must know the word of God. We must be taught by the Bible. There's many other verses that point to this. We read about the gospel armor in Ephesians chapter 6. And one of the final things was our sword, which is the word of God. And in Hebrews, we find that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a very powerful weapon. We must have the Word of God in order to teach others. And we must be taught by the Bible ourselves in order to be successful. And we also must be led by the Spirit. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus says here, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Now, this verse here is speaking directly to the apostles. Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit will come, and He's going to guide you into all truth. Now, how does that help us? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, Romans 8 verse 9, we find, Paul says here, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And if Christ is not in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So once we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit now dwells within us. And then He leads us. How does He lead us? That is the question. We just read how the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth. And we find in the Old Testament, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean for us? In Ephesians chapter 3 and beginning of verse 3, Paul says here, how that by the revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us and guides us through the inspired message of the apostles that He has given to us. We are led by the Word of God. Even another reason that we must be taught by the Bible. And if we are taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we can walk the heavenly way, as we read earlier, the narrow way, the way of life. If we continue to learn the Word of God and follow the scriptural guidance, we can walk the way that leads to heaven and spend eternity with God in heaven. So let us resolve this year to take others with us and walk the heavenly way. So these are a few good resolutions that we could make this year. Let us resolve that this year and from now on, we will no longer linger, but go to the Savior, follow the Savior, enter the kingdom, and take others with us. Now, while now is the popular time for us to make resolutions, don't wait till the new year, but resolve to change now, before you leave here tonight. If you are not a Christian, don't wait any longer. Resolve tonight that you are going to leave your sin, repent of it, and go to the Savior. If you have heard the Word of God, which we find in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Then we must repent of our sins. In Acts 17:30, God commands all men everywhere, God commands all men to repent and confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, which you find in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, which reads, for with that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made towards our salvation. And then finally, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said here, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Period. That's it. If you are not baptized, and you will not be saved. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, 21, the nature of our baptism. It's not physically getting wet, but it's an appeal through our faith and obedience to God. And if you will do these, you could become a Christian tonight, raised to walk in newness of life and ready to devote your life to God, following Him faithfully each day. And if you are a Christian but have not been living right, and you can make your sin or your struggle known. If you need the prayers of your brethren, we are here for you and ready to assist you. Whatever your spiritual need may be, if you are subject to the invitation, will you come? As to